This is Jay Sekulow. We have a law. We don't give money to terrorists. Then why are we giving money to Hamas?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
What is the U.S. government's view of the so-called Palestinian Unity Government that was sworn in today by Palestinian President Abbas?
Well, at this point, it appears that President Abbas has formed an interim technocratic government that does not include ministers affiliated with Hamas. Moving forward, we will be judging this government by its actions. Based on what we know now, we intend to work with this government, but we'll be watching closely to ensure that it upholds the principles that President Abbas reiterated today.
You either fight terrorism or you sponsor them. And unfortunately, today, by transferring funds to the PA, the U.S. administration is actually funding the Hamas, funding terrorist activities that will help the people in Israel.
What I know today is what the President of the United States knows, that it would have been offensive and incomprehensible to consciously leave an American behind, no matter what.
I'm hearing that in your meeting, someone asked the question, who gave the final go-ahead for this deal? And the answer came back, the Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel, not the President. Is that accurate?
That was the last question asked, and the answer was Secretary Hagel. Which kind of surprised me, because I did see the president out there with the Berg dolls. Sounded like he was taking full credit for the operation.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We've got a law that says you don't give money to terrorists. It's that simple. It's not complicated. But we've got the United States government not only doing this ridiculous Gitmo detainee release, which I think is outrageous, not talking about Sergeant Bergdahl, by the way, being returned to the United States. That, I don't think anybody's opposed to that. It's the method upon which it was executed. Take that with the fact that we're now about to give money, our taxpayer dollars, to a government that's going to be Hamas and Fatah. Hamas, a recognized terrorist organization calling for the destruction of Israel. That's number two. Number three, we've got a U.S. soldier in Mexico, and we can't get him out yet. We've got Americans in Iran and two kids in a jail in Sudan with their mother, and the two kids are American citizens. What is the policy of this administration, and why are they doing this? And why did 80 or 90 administration officials know the details of the swap, but not the United States Congress? Than, I know the reaction, and you've been in meetings yesterday on Capitol Hill, to this has got to be outrage.
Yeah, there was this House briefing last night, one in the Senate today. And, Jay, the fact that 80 to 90 people knew about this deal and yet no member of Congress did, never mind that the law requires one group of people, Congress, to be notified about this. This administration told 80 to 90 people, but they did not notify the Hill. People are very upset about that. Jay, here's the question that's going to be asked of Secretary Hagel tomorrow. Did you make this call, or did the president make this call? Because initially the president said he made it. Now he's pointing the finger at Secretary Hagel. He's going to be asked about that in the House tomorrow.
I will tell you this. The reaction to this has to be pretty vitriolic in the sense that it appears that the White House is just sticking by its theory that we couldn't tell the Congress, and the law, in their view, was unconstitutional. Therefore, they didn't want to follow it. And folks, think about that for a moment. I mean, how is it possible that the president of the United States should say, I don't like this law, I'm not going to follow it? We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We want to fight back on this issue with Hamas really aggressively. We're going to talk about all these other issues as well. We put up a petition yesterday. You know, in one day, 43,658 people signed it. It says the Obama administration is violating the law in its quest to appease jihadists in the Middle East. It is reportedly engaged in secret talks with Hamas, by the way, for 6 months that's been going on, and has agreed to recognize and fund the new Palestinian Authority government. Partner is Hamas. In Afghanistan, violated the law by not giving notice, of course, to those members of Congress. You say to yourself, what is going on here? We've got to defend the law, defend the United States, and no deal with terrorists. If you want to join us in this petition, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We want you to sign it today. No deals with terrorists. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
Obama administration is on the wrong path. The president is taking disturbing action, making deals with terrorists at the expense of our troops and our ally Israel. The U.S. just released five of the most dangerous jihadists in the world in exchange for one of our troops. At the same time, the Obama administration is backing the newly formed unity government of the Palestinian Authority and Hamas, backing and funding jihadists that want to destroy Israel, our most important ally in the region. President Obama continues to take actions that violate the law. It's time to send the Obama administration a message. President Obama must follow the law. No deals with jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
You don't celebrate those anymore, but thank you anyways. I appreciate the thought. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. I'm just kidding. Birthdays are fine. You're as young as you feel. All right, we're taking your calls, as I said, 800-684-3110. Jordan has just joined us in the studio there in Washington, D.C., just back from Europe. What was the sense? You talked to us a couple times while you were there on how these trades are going down, this whole situation with not notifying the administration, or the Europeans just taking a hands-off attitude?
No, it's not a hands-off attitude because they're engaged in these conflicts as well. I mean, the war on terror, whatever you want to call it, or the war against Al-Qaeda, they are, of course, deeply involved in these terrorist groups have hit in European countries before. So it's not that they don't have a hands-off approach. They do recognize the significance of what the president has done and why it has upset members of Congress. They haven't taken a strong position. But, you know, I tend to believe that most of them would take the same position as some even Democrat members of Congress are starting to take, which is to act as if these guys who are not living under house arrest, who were released into Qatar, this is a situation where it could go either way. And if the United States really isn't on it, they will go right back to the battlefield. And this precedent that it sets that America will now negotiate with terrorists. And listen, you know, it's a U.S. troop, however and whatever they got into that circumstance. Of course, the United States is going to try to get them home, even if they face some kind of legal action here, because you don't want them in the hands of terrorists.
Right.
That being said, when you start negotiating with those terrorists, instead of going in and removing that individual and taking those terrorists out, but you actually bow down to their demands, you are setting a very dangerous precedent for how to treat Americans when we're abroad. You know, I think about that when I was in Europe and a lot of the other places we travel. It sets a new tone for how you can treat an American and what you may get in return for doing so.
So I think the fact of the matter is we've got to be really very, very specific here and understand the nature and scope of what's happened. And I think you have to understand what has transpired here. And this is, in a very real sense, Than, this is groundbreaking where the Congress is not told about a trade of five top Gitmo detainees. That's unprecedented.
Oh, absolutely. You think back to the capture and killing of Osama bin Laden. Congress was briefed on that. There was no leak. Congress was briefed on that. And I think where we're at, Jay, is the president is at a place where he will do anything in his power to make this all about Sergeant Bergdahl and not about the fact that he didn't follow the law. And I actually thought that something that a Democrat congresswoman said last night in defense of the president was very telling. She went on and on about how great it was to have Sergeant Bergdahl home. And then she said this. She said, "All of the rest is extraneous." Jay, they are calling putting terrorists back on the battlefield extraneous. That's not extraneous. That's very, very dangerous.
Well, I'll tell you, we're fighting back, folks. And again, ACLJ.org, 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org to sign that petition. It's going to put Israel in a very, very difficult spot as well. By the way, listen to Ashley Banfield, CNN, talking to Congressman Buck McKinnon. One.
There were apparently 80 to 90 administration officials who were privy to the details of this swap. And yet, the administration says they didn't brief you in Congress for fear of a leak. Is this sitting well with you?
It's disturbing because they were able to narrow it down to 80 or 90 people from various departments of the administration that knew about this. And yet, not one member of Congress was informed.
Well, there you have it. And that tells you, and Jordan, is that lack of congressional detail here, or telling the Congress what was going on, while 90 people in the administration knows, tells you that the president really views Congress not in a very favorable way?
Well, listen, we know from leaks, who leaks? It's the people that were told about this. You don't hear about leaks in newspapers from members of Congress. And so you can use examples. I mean, going back through wars we've been through, the bin Laden example that Speaker Boehner used, they were, you know, getting information about that. You don't get leaks out of Congress in those classified briefings. They're representing constituents, many of those constituents who have family members whose lives could be at jeopardy. I think they get it more sometimes than the bureaucrats trying to make a name for themselves. So they're telling people, I mean, you get to 90 people in Washington, that's not just the top anymore. That means there were a lot of people who had no business knowing about it. If a senior ranking member of Congress can't know about it, neither should they. These were, again, when you start going down from the top, think president number one, and down to 90,
right?
Except you skipped the potential. I mean, you go down the line of succession, they skip that very much so.
Listen to Representative Adam Schiff from California, Democrat, same issue. Listen to what he had to say.
And the fact that there were so many people within the know of the administration doesn't help their case. One other fact I'll raise is that most of the leaks that have taken place have come from the administration and not from Congress. So they really should have brought at least the leadership within their confidence, and I think that was a mistake.
So no defense from you, a Democrat from California, as we're hearing from other Democrats as well.
So there you have it. I mean, this is when you got Democrats saying this, what is the Democratic reaction? I mean, you got a couple that are trying to give the government line here, the administration line, but what's your sense?
Well, overall, I think they're upset because, first of all, the law requires this. But second of all, Jay, they were actually asked about the release of these five detainees a long time ago, and Congress specifically said it is a bad idea. So most of them are upset that they weren't consulted. But there are a few following the party line here on this for the president. I mean, Jordan talked about this a little bit, but Congressman Louise Slaughter said that I wouldn't tell 435 people a secret either, as if, you know, maybe they would leak it somehow. But, Jay, I think it's important to remember, the law requires very specific members of Congress to be notified. Not 435, but certainly more than zero.
Well, I'll tell you, folks, the reaction on this is getting pretty loud on Capitol Hill. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 800-684-3110. Richard is calling from Colorado on line one. Richard, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd like to say thank you for all that you guys are doing. I would like to know, when is our president going to hang the for sale sign on the Statue of Liberty? He's giving the country away instead of piece by piece. And
you know, we talked about this yesterday, Richard. This isn't unintentional actions by the administration. This is very calculated. I mean, they have a plan here, Jordan. They know why they're doing this. One of it is, this is how they're going to close Gitmo. They're going to get everybody out and then close it.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, if you can get rid of these top five, which they have done so now, and these were the most high-profile Gitmo detainees, then it's not going to be – think about the public reaction, the public affairs crisis, if you want to call it that, or the trouble that this is getting the Obama administration into. If it takes these five to do so, well, then the rest, not as big of a deal. So you have to wonder how much of this is a little bit of smoke screens as well to do exactly what you just said, Dad, which is ultimately all of these people we've detained for a number of years are now going to be released back into, and the way I'm going to describe this, they're going to be released back into the wild of the Taliban, the wild of the world of terrorism.
Well, I'll tell you something, folks. The reaction is strong, and it's growing. It's not getting any less with the days going by here. All right, again, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Michelle is calling from Virginia. She's on line three. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you that I am absolutely infuriated that we have a Secretary of Defense that is doing this, that is giving that away to a known terrorist group. And it's amazing. And the caller before was right. Where's the for sale sign? When we were stationed in Europe, my husband, I felt safer over there after 9/11. Yeah. Than I do in our own country. And well, I think that is getting to be pathetic.
You know, Michelle, I'm not going to say we told you so, but when Chuck Hagel was nominated for Secretary of Defense, we told you so. We knew this was going to happen. It's interesting because in the discussion on CNN with Representative McKeon, that issue with Chuck Hagel came up number two and three.
I'm hearing that in your meeting, someone asked the question, who gave the final go-ahead for this deal? And the answer came back, the Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel, not the president. Is that accurate?
That was the last question asked, and the answer was Secretary Hagel, which kind of surprised me because I did see the president out there with the Berg dolls. Sounded like he was taking full credit for the operation.
I'm going to play something when we come back from the break. I'm going to play it right now. So the question continued. So did the congressman. So who was it, Chuck Hagel or the president?
And now they're saying that Secretary Hagel made the decision, probably parsing of words or probably maybe now that there's a little pushback or I don't know. I don't know who's in charge or who's making the decisions. It did seem to me that it was the president. And that was the emphasis up until this briefing.
But the Secretary of Defense said the president made the call. So ultimately, it's the president of the United States. He's the commander in chief, and he's the one that authorized Congress not to be informed and educated on this. We're taking your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's the way to do it. Now, we got a petition up and saying we haven't even touched on today the whole situation with Hamas and Fatah and Hamas now being part of the government in the Gaza and West Bank, what that means for Israel. It's unbelievable. We want that money not to go to Hamas. Join us in that petition at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. By the way, when Chuck Hagel was nominated, 266,942 of our members opposed it. Back with more in a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. The Obama administration is on the wrong path. The president is taking disturbing action, making deals with terrorists at the expense of our troops and our ally Israel. The U.S. just released five of the most dangerous jihadists in the world in exchange for one of our troops. At the same time, the Obama administration is backing the newly formed unity government of the Palestinian Authority and Hamas, backing and funding jihadists that want to destroy Israel, our most important ally in the region. President Obama continues to take actions that violate the law. It's time to send the Obama administration a message. President Obama must follow the law. No deals with jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go to Jana, who is calling from Oregon. Hi, Jana.
Hi. Okay, so why are our Congress people, our representatives and stuff, just concerned about this flagrant violation of constitutional law instead of calling for impeachment?
Well, impeachment's a very high standard. To get to that standard, it'd be very, very difficult, if not impossible on something like this, although some are saying that there is. What is the congressional reaction here, Than?
Well, you saw Senator Graham actually make comments along this line, but I think we're going to know more tomorrow, Jay, because what is Secretary Hagel going to do when Congress asks him, did he make this call or did the president? If the secretary actually takes the fall for this, if he, you know, follows the president's line and said that he was the one that executes this, I would not be surprised to see pressure for Secretary Hagel's resignation. Although I will tell you, Jay, that would be the secretary taking the fall for the president, because when this first came out and the president thought that this was going to be a popular move, he said, I made this call, and he called the sergeant's parents to the White House to celebrate it. It is only when the public outcry came that the blame is being pushed on Secretary Hagel. So we're going to know tomorrow, and then I think we'll know the course of action for Congress.
Jordan, what do you expect the congressional reaction to be?
Well, you know, I think that you've got a situation here where Congress, when they found out, when you hear about these 90 people, to me, I just go down the list, okay? That's cabinet officials, you're talking about a dozen there, the president, vice president, 14, some top generals, let's go to 18, 19 joint chiefs of staff, so let's say 20, 70 more people in Washington, D.C., we're not talking about the special forces who somehow, you know, met the Taliban. We've seen the video now, the transfer. We're talking about in Washington, D.C., there were 90 people who knew about this, and not one of them was a member of Congress, not on the Democrat side or the Republican side, at least not yet that we haven't had that disclosed. I mean, it'd be interesting to know for certain that no Democrats knew. But remember, when it comes to the House of Representatives, you've got the Speaker, the Leader,
right.
You have the chairs of the Intelligence Committees. I mean, these are people who give them the budget to do their job, and they were trusted with Bin Laden. You could certainly trust them with five guys we already had in prison.
Yeah, Jordan, I would just say, just to echo your point, there is actually an argument going on right now between the White House and Harry Reid's office. Harry Reid says, oh, I was informed on Friday. And the White House says, oh, no. We didn't tell Harry Reid till Sunday. And Harry Reid's office says, oh, no. I heard about it on Friday. So
yeah.
They can't even decide.
Yeah. That's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. The question's going to be, though, is there going to be, I mean, this is the question that the callers are asking, is there any accountability here?
Well, ultimately, that's going to be up to Congress. It's going to be up to the American people. I always like to say the best way to hold politicians accountable, and of course the bureaucracy that is run by the politicians accountable, is elections. And we've got elections coming up in November. The people have got to vote. You know, if this is what's upsetting to you, you think about how do you put more strain on this administration? Make it tougher for them to get budgets to do this kind of work. Don't give them the budgets until they agree to certain stipulations. That hasn't happened before yet under the Obama administration because the Senate has been in pretty firm Democrat control. Now, that could change. So ultimately, if you want immediate, and that's about as immediate as it gets,
yeah,
it's about the political change.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. David is calling from Texas. He's on line three. Hi, David.
Yeah, hi. I agree with completely everything that you guys have been saying, but I've been listening to this topic for quite some time now. But the point I wanted to make, though, is that it bothers me when we keep saying that we traded him for five terrorists. The Taliban may be classified as terrorists now, but in actuality, they were enemy commanders.
No, enemy combatants.
combatants, I mean, yeah.
That was for the purposes of detention. That was their classification individually. It doesn't mean that, the Taliban is not a terrorist organization, but yeah, right.
The Taliban was never terrorist before. They were the ruling authority in government of Afghanistan, of which we went to war with. So, I mean, if everybody we go to war with now, we're going to classify as terrorists. If in
well, but the, hold it. The terrorist is not, just so you understand, the terrorist classification is the acts that they were engaged in were acts of terror. When it comes to a governmental entity, a state actor, that's a different story. So what we did, you're just saying we traded five enemy combatants? By the way, I don't think that it's a distinction without a difference for the purposes of how bad these guys are. I think you'd agree with that.
I agree with that as well. But if the war is going to be over soon, don't we release all prisoners of war anyways? And
well,
we can't hold them as being terrorists just because we went to war against them.
Well, enemy combatants can be held as long as there's combat potential. And we're keeping 10,000 troops in Afghanistan. So these guys could have been detained. This is part of the president's agenda here. I appreciate your call. Thanks for calling in. Larry's calling from Oregon. Hi, Larry.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
I appreciate you guys being on the ball and all this stuff. My biggest question was, first of all, is why did they trade five guys for one instead of one for one?
Because that's, you know, here's their answer. That's what the Taliban demanded. I mean, Jordan, that's the irony. The Taliban demanded these five.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so this is a situation, going back to the last caller, you know, when war is over, do you just release everyone? That's not the case. You know, the Nazis didn't get to go home. When you're a top leader, there may have been some ground troops who got to go home, but those who were most influential were either executed or imprisoned. And, you know, this was not like, okay, the war's over, so everybody goes. So this idea, again, we have to remember back because, you know, sometimes people forget how this works. Yes, for those on the ground combat types, enlisted types, if you will, even at the Taliban level, you know, young kids who were not that involved kind of got locked into. Those are the people that kind of get let go at the end. Top commanders usually never see freedom again. They never get to make their own decisions. They have been captured on the battlefield. They are a threat. They've said they'll still be a threat. I mean, these guys are still making threats as of today. From their luxury compounds in Qatar, they're saying, I want to go join the war.
Well, this is why, folks, we're fighting back. And we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go to Jim in Washington State. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Jay, thank you very much for taking my call. God bless you all.
Yep.
Hey, I'm wondering, how many laws does this administration get to break before Congress and the Senate actually does something between the NSA spying, the IRS targeting, the releasing of these terrorists? How many laws do they get to break before somebody does something
I mean, here's the thing. Of course, you got a divided House and Senate, so that makes it every action difficult. What's your sense here? I mean, at the end of the day, and this is the question everybody's asking, is there going to be any accountability? Jordan said the election box, certainly that's accountability, but is there going to be any congressional action here?
Well, Jordan is correct that the Senate has been blocking pushback on a lot of these items. Of course, they're not standing with the president on the terrorist release. But I actually think, Jay, I think the opportunity for this is the funding of Hamas, because the blocking of funding for terrorist groups back in 2006, speaking specifically about Hamas, it was very bipartisan. I think when those funding bills go through this year, I think you're going to see a wide number of Democrats stand with to block that funding. I think that might be the flashpoint where some of the Democrats cross over and push back against the president.
All right, folks, we're taking your calls. We're here for another 30 minutes. If you're not getting us on SiriusXM, the entire hour of the broadcast, you can get it at ACLJ.org. And again, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Now, folks, we're in a campaign. We've already garnered over 43,000 signatures on our petition that says no funding to Hamas, no funding to terrorists, period. Almost 46,000. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Let me encourage you also, like us on Facebook, share this information on Facebook. Jordan has a Facebook page, I do as well, so does the ACLJ. Also follow Jordan on Twitter, twitter.com/JordanSekulow. Back with your calls in a moment.
President Obama continues to take actions that violate the law. It's time to send the Obama administration a message. President Obama must follow the law. No deals with jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Everybody, 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about what's going on around the globe, the training of the terrorists. We're talking about the situation where Hamas is about to get our taxpayer dollars because our United States government is willing to recognize the Hamas Fatah government. Hamas is a terrorist organization that in their charter calls for Israel's destruction. And then, of course, we got the situation with the Marine. We've got Saeed Abedini left behind in Iran, the two kids of Miriam Ibrahim still in jail in Sudan. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's Dave is calling from Maryland. He's on line 6. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Jay. Good day.
Thank you. You're on the air.
The president acts more like he's, you know, an imperious king who makes the law instead of the chief executive responsible for enforcing the law. In fact, he's putting himself in a position of being above the law.
Yeah.
The accountability should come from Congress, but woe be unto the congressman, too, that gives him a wave on that. They're saying, basically, you know, we'll let these high principles go for the sake of political influence and power. I mean, shame on them all.
Well, I know the reaction. Now I'll get to Than and Jordan on this because they're right there in Washington dealing with this. But the reaction, by the way, I think the fact that the president makes a signing statement and then says, "Oh, I'm not going to follow the law, but I'm going to notify folks." 90 people in his administration knew this was going on, but not the chairman of the Foreign Intelligence Committee. I mean, think about this for a moment. So, you know, Dave is echoing what everybody is saying, and that is, you know, this is such an outrageous action, and what is going to be the accountability here? I know we've asked it now 4 times, but people are really concerned about this.
Well, I agree with Dave on both points, with both the president and Congress. On the president, you know, Jay, even the White House admits that they didn't follow the law on this, and their excuse is that they have concerns with the law. Well, you know what? Tough. The law is still the law. Whether you like it or not, you have to follow it. But to the point about Congress and them needing to step up and hold the president accountable, this responsibility could not be any clearer when it comes to funding. Funding is that power originates in the House of Representatives. It is controlled by the Republicans right now. So when you're talking about funding terrorist-designated groups like Hamas, it is completely acceptable to call on Congress to stop that and to hold them accountable if they do not. If Hamas gets a dollar this year, the House of Representatives should be responsible, yeah, along with the president. Absolutely.
Jordan, I want to talk about this Qatar situation because you've been there. I mean, very few people that that are listening to the broadcast now have been to Qatar. Most people never go there. Give us they're saying they're going to be under house arrest. What's the kind of the... What was your impressions of Qatar? I know you were pleased with the people you were meeting with, but what was your impressions overall here? Will these guys have free reign?
If that's the deal that was made, you know, it could go either way. So on the one hand, Qatar is a kingdom, so it's not even like in the United States. They have a Revolutionary Guard. I was actually at their headquarters in Doha, and they answer to the emir or the king, if you want to think about it that way. They could be on these guys. I mean, that could absolutely be the case, and John Kerry, Secretary of State Kerry, has alluded to that. And there's even been some bizarre talk about that we're going to, you know, go in and take these guys out. Could it be, you know, Qatar is a good ally. We have a Marine base there. CENTCOM is based there. But here's the flip side. Community-wise, though the government there is not really the problem, the people, there's a lot of people there, a lot of migrant workers especially, who see these Taliban guys as heroes. And if you drive 10 minutes outside Doha, you're in the middle of the desert. Helicopter comes, picks you up. A guy in a Jeep comes and picks you up. You could be in Saudi Arabia in no time or somewhere else. So if they are not on you, and if they have been told by the U.S. to kind of wink, wink, let them disappear, they could absolutely disappear. It's one of those kind of places. You don't have to go far to be in the middle of nowhere.
All right, folks, we're giving you real analysis from people that have been in the region. So we're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And we'll take your calls. If you want to sign on this petition, if you're outraged at the president, you should make the call. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Don't forget to share us on Facebook. I think I'm approaching, now I'm going to have Will check. We'll give it to him when we come back. I think I'm approaching 950,000 on Facebook. I think the ACLJ over 700 and something thousand now. We're on our way to 2 million on Facebook. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989 to sign that petition. Like us on Facebook. Follow Jordan on Twitter. Back with your calls at 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 800-684-3110.
The Obama administration is on the wrong path. The president is taking disturbing action, making deals with terrorists at the expense of our troops and our ally Israel. The U.S. just released five of the most dangerous jihadists in the world in exchange for one of our troops. At the same time, the Obama administration is backing the newly formed unity government of the Palestinian Authority and Hamas, backing and funding jihadists that want to destroy Israel, our most important ally in the region. President Obama continues to take actions that violate the law. It's time to send the Obama administration a message. President Obama must follow the law. No deals with jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Jordan just mentioned that he was in Qatar. There's a lot of discussion going on that. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. But I think it's good for Jordan to kind of reset that. You know, these guys have been sent to Qatar. What does that mean, Jordan?
Well, it could mean two things. I mean, Qatar is a kingdom. It's a monarchy. So monarchies don't have to follow the same constitutional principles even our military or intelligence services do. So if you transfer someone to a monarchy, they can be very tough. They're capable of that. CENTCOM is based there. So, I mean, our entire Middle East operation is based in Qatar. I mean, we've got military bases there. On the other hand, so does Hamas. Hamas is headquartered in Qatar. Hezbollah has offices in Qatar. So it's kind of become, like Dubai in a sense, this place in the world where everyone comes together. It's good for negotiations, good for some means, but you're going to have bad actors there as well. They don't put up with a lot of nonsense. So in the sense that are they going to be carrying out attacks there? No. But will they be able to coordinate them? I mean, certainly they have could have the capability. So it could be that they are under serious control, regardless of the junk they're telling the media, that they are under watch by tough guys who will, if they had to, use force to prevent them. On the other hand, if they're given a little bit of free rein, they're not so unpopular with the people. Not the government, but with the people. This is a government that's kept working with the Taliban throughout our war. Again, the best way to describe it is this. They could be under real control. They could also, if they're not, disappear into the desert. I'd say, honestly, unless you're going during traffic time, in 15 minutes. In 15 minutes, they could be gone.
All right, Mike's calling from California. He's online, too. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Jay. My name is Mike, and My whole family's been veterans. I mean, we put 53 years service in.
Well, thank your family for your service.
Nation. You're welcome. Yep. And I just wanted to say this is really important. This I can't even say his last name.
Sergeant Bergdahl?
Yes. But I always noticed that these shock and awe type moves of the administration, during these times, there's always something underneath going on.
Well, I mean, some have said, I mean, you know, is anybody talking about the VA scandal right now? That was the big news. So did this take the VA scandal off? But I think we've got to separate, Mike, the situation about removing Sergeant Bergdahl and getting him back to the United States, even if he did desert. And you wait till the evidence comes in on that. But regardless, getting a soldier back is one thing. I think you try to do everything you can to do that. But what you don't do is trade five terrorists. And what you don't do is trade those five terrorists without congressional notice, which is required under the law. That, to me, is what's so inexplicable about what has happened here. The law just completely ignored as if it does not exist. Mike, we appreciate your call. Appreciate your family service. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go to Julie from California on line 6. By the way, I want to ask you, what do you think the president's accountability should be here? 1-800-684-3110. Julie, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to add a comment. What about this president is despicable, what he did. He needs to be held accountable. He needs to be impeached. Where are the Republicans? What about our Marine in Mexico prison? What are we doing for him?
The Mexico prison situation, I don't understand. We've got great diplomatic relationships with Mexico. There's either something we don't know. It makes no sense to me that this would be a situation. And the administration has dealt with that, too. Listen to number 6. This is with Josh Earnest, Deputy Secretary. It's a question from a Fox News reporter. And then Josh Earnest, the Deputy Press Secretary, on that very issue, number 6.
On Friday, the head of the VFW sent a letter to President Obama saying, now that you've secured the release of Sergeant Bergdahl, when are you going to secure the release of the Marine sergeant who's in a Mexican prison?
Well, let me draw a distinction between the Marine that you're citing in the Mexican prison and Sergeant Bergdahl. Sergeant Bergdahl was being held by the Taliban, who was engaged in an armed conflict with the United States and coalition forces. And so what was conducted to free Sergeant Bergdahl was a prisoner exchange.
Yeah, so we're calling it a prisoner exchange now. Of course, Bergdahl was never classified as a POW, by the way. That's besides the point. That's number one. Number two, ask yourself this question, because this is the question I'm asking myself. Right, we're in a military conflict in that region. We're not in a military conflict with Mexico. It should be easier to get this guy out. Listen to number 7.
Specifically, the head of the VFW asked, what is the president, we've heard about Secretary Kerry and others, what is the president personally doing to get this Marine out of the Mexican prison?
Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of information to provide you in terms of the current efforts underway.
But is the president pressing to get him back or not?
Well, certainly the president is concerned about all detainees or Americans who are being held against their will in other countries. And this is something that the president is certainly concerned about. But in terms of what specific efforts are underway, I'd refer you to the Department of Defense.
Yeah, there you have it. So, Jordan, what's your analysis, Than, on that one? I'm going to talk to both of you on that.
Well, I think on the one hand, I tend to agree that there's always the potential that something more bizarre is at stake, and it's just not been. There's been a lot of legal changes here when it comes to the Marine in Mexico. That being said, even unless he had committed murder, and if that's not been the charge here at all, or major drug trafficking inside Mexico, something that would be a serious offense, the fact that they are not extraditing him, even if they called it that, an extradition, what is the problem here with putting him into the U.S. system? And that's assuming the worst, which I don't like to do about people, but let's say because it doesn't seem right. So, again, is it this administration just not following up? Is the administration not doing anything about it? Because let me tell you, Mexico's a friend, but if you don't ask friends to do something, what do they play, a guessing game of should we release this Marine that that one of our police officers and police arrested back to the U.S. without them asking for him? Maybe they know something we don't know.
And I would just say that the juxtaposition that bothers me the most here, Jay, is the fact that we were this aggressive involving a soldier who there are very questionable circumstances to, regarding his disappearance, and yet what have we seen in the cases regarding Saeed Abedini and Miriam Ibrahim and you know the Marine in Mexico? Complete passiveness. There is no aggressiveness
really
when it involves U.S. citizens.
It's pretty unbelievable because, again, this, you know, we're not leaving Americans behind, which, okay, for those of us that have been working on Americans left behind, that's nonsense. We know they're leaving Americans behind. You know, the State Department needs to really start acting like a State Department. That's half the problem here. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Betty is calling from California. Hi, Betty.
Good morning. God bless you all. I love this program.
Well, thank you.
Thank God so much for the past year. I've been listening to the host, Jay, and his host, and I'm praying many prayers
that
you'll stay around for us forever.
Well, I appreciate that,
yes,
Betty.
Yes, and I just want to thank you and allow you to know that I can't sit down without calling, signing the campaign.
Well, I appreciate
we're
that.
We're fighting for people, not enemies.
You're exactly right. Well, Betty, I appreciate you calling in from California. Thank you so much. And we're going to you keep listening and keep calling. We appreciate that more than you know. Dan is calling from Nevada. By the way, if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110 is the number. That's 1-800-684-3110. Dan, what do you have?
As far as accountability, I think they should take Obama, Biden, Hagel, Kerry, and Hillary.
You want to do another trade? Well, I don't want to put anybody in the hands of that. But I understand the frustration, but I that's not the way to handle it. We handle it through policy, and as Jordan said, we're going to handle this through the election box, Dan. Hal is calling for California. Hi, Hal. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jay. Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm not being able to follow this fully, but I'm wondering why did they release the prisoners?
Well, there's a sense that it was because the president wants to close Gitmo, and if you don't get rid of these five guys, there's no way to really do that. But Jordan and Than, you're in D.C. What are you hearing there?
Well, I mean, listen, you know, the idea here that why would you do this? Why these five? Is it related to Gitmo? The truth is, I think we honestly know that the agenda is twofold. One, I think they thought there was a potential for praise. Okay, that's one. The truth is, did they not do their research on the fact that a lot of the fellow servicemen,
right,
who were, one, that got killed looking for him, two, the six of those, two, the fact that he may have deserted, if not joined the other side. Now, I mean, there's mixed reports on that. And then three, you're releasing five of the top terrorists to Gitmo over. So I think you put all that together, still they may have thought, but we're getting an American home. Everybody's going to understand he's been through trauma, so this will just go well, except for they didn't tell Congress. So this administration's got a history of this, things that they think, and at first sound great, and then quickly unravel. Part two, though, I think goes back to the idea, if these five guys are out of Gitmo, Gitmo's done.
Well, I'll tell you, we're gonna fight back on this and continue to do that. And I will tell you, as we do that, we need your help, folks. We've got a petition up at 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org to sign on this petition, no money to go to terrorists. Interesting, John Schlitt just walked in our studios. After the break, I'm going to have him come on and join me because he just came back from Saudi Arabia. As we're talking about Qatar and Saudi Arabia, we're talking about people that were just in the region. So you're not going to want to miss this. So let me encourage you to make the call, join that petition, ACLJ.org, or if you want to talk to me or John, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to talk to me or John Schlitt. John Schlitt's just coming back from Saudi Arabia. We want to get his comments. 800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air.
Back to where you once belong.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital.
Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
The Obama administration is on the wrong path. The president is taking disturbing action, making deals with terrorists at the expense of our troops and our ally Israel. The U.S. just released five of the most dangerous jihadists in the world in exchange for one of our troops. At the same time, the Obama administration is backing the newly formed unity government of the Palestinian Authority and Hamas, backing and funding jihadists that want to destroy Israel, our most important ally in the region. President Obama continues to take actions that violate the law. It's time to send the Obama administration a message. President Obama must follow the law. No deals with jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. That song, by the way, Ben here at J Secular Live, famous Joe Walsh song. We're going to be releasing that, but we're holding it back because we're going to have a little bit of a special announcement on this in the coming weeks. So we're going to have a lot more music for you that we're going to be playing. Most of the bumpers actually will be over the next several months are going to be all done here by our guys. So it's a blast. We're having a lot of fun with it, but we're also going to be taking – we're going to even take requests at some point in this. But we've been talking about the whole situation in the Middle East, and interestingly, the lead singer for our band, John Schlitt, who sings the lead on so many of the songs that you've heard, was just in Saudi Arabia. And John just got back yesterday. We had a rehearsal last night, and John is back. He's in our studio today. And I thought it would be good, John, because you were there in a very unique situation where people need, you know, we talk about the Middle East and all the problems. You were in a very unique situation.
Yes.
In what you were doing there. Let's talk about first what that was.
Oh, well, first of all, there's actually a Christian church there that's being sanctioned, or it's official. It's legal.
Recognized, right.
In Saudi Arabia. It's the first Christian church that's, I think, has ever had that happen. They've got a lot of underground churches, but... And we went there with the
a friend of ours, Curtis Wallace, a lawyer that we're very close with. Yeah.
And I got to see a bunch of people that are starting to sense a little bit of the freedom that we take for granted.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
So you were in Saudi Arabia. Now, the church is primarily people from all over the world. I mean, literally.
Oh,
because a lot of people come into work in Saudi Arabia.
Yes. A lot of Africans, South African, a lot of different countries in the Africa continent, Australia. America. There were some Americans there. The truth is, I didn't get the chance to meet all of them, but every time I talked to one, they had a different
accent.
Yeah. It was funny.
So, you know, people think of Saudi Arabia, and you think of how could there possibly be a church in Saudi Arabia? What was the most shocking thing to you or most interesting aspect of going there? I mean, obviously, the whole idea of a church sanctioned and authorized in Saudi Arabia, a Wahhabi country, is pretty amazing. And that's why you cannot paint the Middle East with these broad brushes that people tend to do. The fact of the matter is, you've got a situation where you really want to see a development of, you're seeing it. You're seeing a government by government. It's very different. What was the thing that struck you the most there?
Well, just the fact that they have a chance to exist. I was totally shocked. I mean, Saudi Arabia, come on. And to see them have the courage. They're starting to have a little bit of courage, the Christians, of going, yes, we can do this. We're going to develop this church. We're going to develop bigger. They even bought property.
Yeah, and the government allowed them to do
yes,
it.
Yes, I mean, I couldn't believe that. The more they told me about it, was the more I'm going, really?
Yeah.
Really? And so for us to be able to go over there, I'm going, oh, this is so amazing. This is
and
so
And you
amazing.
Did a full worship service.
I sure did.
So there was no hold bars. I mean, the pastors were able to preach. You were able to lead the worship. No problem.
Absolutely. Just like here in this country or anywhere else in the world.
There you have it. All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Carl's calling from Virginia on line one. Hi, Carl.
Hey, good afternoon. I have an observation and a question.
Okay.
Our current administration has been extremely biased to help anything and everything towards the Islamic world in the Middle East and around the world, actually, and very little towards our friends in that area.
Yeah.
How can we as citizens help to contravene that or stop
Well,
that?
I think what John was just talking about, Carl, the ability to go over to these regions and engage and not paint it with a broad brushstroke. Let's be very targeted and very specific. I mean, you've got in Saudi Arabia, and John was just there, so his firsthand experience just came back a couple of days ago. You have a Christian church authorized and operating in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And that in of itself is a significant thing. And, John, you're saying it was a live and vibrant worship experience.
Absolutely. Now, they will say, oh, we're not trying to evangelize. We're
just trying
to provide for the Christians in the country.
Right.
And you know what? Fine.
Yep.
There's a lot of Christians there, and they need to they're starting to be recognized and not be chastised quite so much. So it's an exciting time.
You know, it's interesting because when you think about these portions of the world, and I've been through the Middle East a lot, that's what I'm saying. You got to be really specific. You came in, you're leading worship in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm. My way too.
Yeah.
Remember.
So it was John
Smith, radical
kind of a rock worship, we'll call it. And not afraid to talk about Jesus, and the members of the church were not afraid to talk about their faith.
Not one. Well, you know what? They're recovering. They're starting to venture out.
Talk about that. For a while, there was some repression. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I mean, things have changed a lot in Saudi Arabia because as we've talked about it before, they want the West to know that they're on our side because
right.
they want us on their side.
Right.
And you know,
they're worried about the same terrorists we are.
Absolutely. But they were asking, you know, what do we do with this? It seems this country is absolutely ignoring our friends and catering to our enemies.
Right.
Well, I didn't go in representing the country.
Right.
I went in representing a small facet of Christians who want to see things changed and some people who help support me. And so we can do it because we aren't part of the government that isn't
right.
necessarily functioning the way we want it to.
By the way, John Schlitt's website is johnschlitt.com. Is that the best one?
Either one, John W. Schlitt or johnschlitt.com. Yes.
Yeah, and also, by the way, you can go to his Facebook, and we'll have a link on our Facebook as well. But go to his Facebook. What's the Facebook address? Facebook.com, John, I think it's just John, is it John W. Schlitt? I'm going to ask Will to check that out.
We should know that.
Boy, we should know that. Okay. You could tell I don't, but I do visit the website. John's also launching a new ministry that's going to allow John to do things like he just did, which was go to Saudi Arabia. Did you ever think, I mean, thinking about this, John, did you ever think you'd be ministering with, you've toured all over the world with Petra.
Nope.
Did you ever think of Saudi Arabia?
No, actually, I didn't think I'd ever be in any Eastern Bloc or in any
Middle Eastern
Bloc country at all. And Saudi Arabia, if all of them, oh my gosh, it'd be like, well, no, it was totally a shock, and I praise God for it, and I'm totally open to see what else he's got for me.
What's the name of the church there?
I was afraid you'd ask me.
Grace
Outreach.
Yeah, Grace Outreach, sanctioned by the government in Saudi Arabia. I mean, it's hard to believe it, but it is there, and friends of ours are helping on the legal side of it, and John was there ministering. By the way, John's Facebook is at facebook.com. It's just / John W. Schlitt. That's S-C-H-L-I-T-T. So you're going to want to visit there. Lasting impression, last thing you want to tell our audience, because then our broadcast is done, is that we need to pray for because there's a lot of people in Saudi Arabia from all over the world mm-hmm. working there.
Yes.
Executives, labor, everything. Mm-hmm. We need to pray for those Christians in those
Absolutely,
areas.
Absolutely, because they're trying to stand strong. They were living under a lot of fear. They're starting to feel a little more confident about it. And we just need to encourage through prayer, encourage, you know, if you're looking for something to support, check out ACLJ.
Yeah, there you go. We're doing great work over there, but I'm thrilled that we were able to help in getting John Schlitt over to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia,
to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pretty incredible thing. All right, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Right now, we're at 45,963,000 people signing our petition to not give government money, our money, to Hamas. If you want to join that petition, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. I can't even believe I'm saying that, that we're giving money. We're recognizing the Hamas government. I mean, it's just unbelievable to me that that's even in the discussion point. Again, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Like us on Facebook. Hey, folks, we're at about 1,650,000, almost 1,700,000. We want to get to 2 million, and that'll allow us to release a lot more of the music and other things that we want to get to you. So help us get there. Like us on Facebook. This is from John Song. It's called Faith and Freedom. A great video that we also put together here at the ACLJ. Again, 877-989-2255. Check out johnwschlitt.com. Because everything's on the line. We gotta rise up. We gotta stay strong.
To save our way of life, we gotta rise up. President Obama continues to take actions that violate the law. It's time to send the Obama administration a message. President Obama must follow the law. No deals with jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.